Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Happy New Year, everyone. We are back here on Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Joe McCann here with Phil Bush. Phil, did you have a nice Christmas?
I did. Lots of time with family and friends and got all the things I wanted. So good. How about you, Joe?
I did. I had a nice Christmas. Just went to Georgia, hung out with the family for a few days. Saw Marquette get a win over Southern. That's really the only important thing, and enjoyed a few other wins since our last podcast. And now we're looking forward to the new year, the beginning of Big East play. We're going to, in today's podcast, we're going to look back at our preseason Big East predictions, see if we want to adjust anything now that we've gotten a handle of what this Marquette team is, and maybe at the end discuss whether Marquette is overrated, underrated, or properly rated as we begin 2019. But Phil, let's just first, I think, you know, the win over Buffalo is kind of old news now, so I don't know if I necessarily want to rehash that so much as I just want to start with a discussion of how great Marcus Howard has been so far in non-conference play, particularly over the last few weeks, the Buffalo game being a highlight. You know, he probably could have had 50 against Southern if that was a mission, but Marquette kind of called off the dogs, and he really kind of sat out a lot of that game while some of the guys who don't get a lot of playing time got some run. But the numbers Marcus Howard is putting up right now, it's early, but they may have him in All-American consideration.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a weird way to look at it, and it's probably not all that useful, but he really played two phenomenal halves, the second half of the Buffalo game and the first half of the Southern game when he got all the run in that game. I mean, in both of those games, he essentially went like something like 11 for 18 from three and like 10 of 12 from two and with 20 free throws in there. So, I mean, it's some basketball we haven't seen out of him. It's basically everything he's throwing up, he's putting in. And it's, you know, you hope that continues, right? It probably can't, but I will take Marcus Howard in God mode over just about anyone else.
Yeah, when Marcus Howard just gets in that zone where he's just approaching the three-point line with confidence and just burying anything he wants, and just seems like the basket is as big as the ocean to him, Marquette can beat absolutely anybody, pretty much anybody in the country when he's in a zone like that and the defense is playing the way that it has so far this season. You know, Marcus Howard's three-point percentage has gone up quite a bit, I'd say, over the last few weeks. I forget what it was in our last podcast, maybe in the mid-30s, which is fine for most players, but low for him. Now he's up to 43% as we begin this week. His effective field goal percentage is 55.9 and climbing. It's going to keep getting better. Averaging 25 points per game, 4 assists per game. Turnovers are, I mean, he still turns the ball over a little bit, but I think that really hasn't been an issue. Again, three-point shooting has been great. Free throw shooting, as it normally is always great. He's at 91% from the free throw line. He is getting to the free throw line at a pretty good rate. In the Kansas State game, the effort he made to make sure Dean Wade fouled out of the game, and a few other games where he's gotten to the free throw line a bunch and really kind of pad his scoring numbers, like in the Buffalo game he did that as well. But he is just playing the game with such confidence right now, and he's got a, you know, if you follow the KenPom Player of the Year ratings, he's eighth right now in the country as far as KenPom rates him as the eighth best player in the nation based on the stats he's compiled so far. So, you know, we'll see if he can keep this up and be in the All-American / Player of the Year discussion when the season is over, but right now, it's hard to have any complaints about the way Marcus Howard has been playing.
Well, he's basically, you know, cranked it to 11 since we talked about, well, maybe Marcus should shoot a little bit less. And again, it's really, you know, two, maybe three halves if you count the second half of the Southern game. Because in that first half, of the Buffalo game, he was held to 5 points and missed a lot of shots and went to a lot of hero ball. But that actually was, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on the Buffalo game, but that was actually very encouraging because Marquette took a halftime lead over Buffalo with Marcus playing poorly. And it's really Marcus playing well in the second half, turned that in from what probably would have been a tight Marquette victory into a complete blowout. So to your point, when he's playing that way, and if he continues to play that way over the next couple of weeks, Marquette could really put a dent into the Big East schedule and kind of come out on fire. So it's going to be interesting to see if Marcus is going to be kind of in God mode for the next week or two, or if he kind of regresses back to what has been his season mean. And
he may need to be on fire against St. John's. We'll maybe get into that game in just a minute if he's going to go shot for shot with Shamori Ponds in an early Big East Player of the Year battle between those two guys.
Right.
But yeah, you mentioned in the previous pod, or maybe the pod before that, maybe Marcus Howard was shooting a lot, and maybe that was an issue because his field goal percentage wasn't quite as high as we've been used to. But if I remember correctly, one thing I said in that podcast was, I never want Marcus Howard to be passive. I always want him shooting. And boy, he just kept shooting in that Buffalo game, and it worked out just fine, and he kept it going against Southern. And like I mentioned, he could have had pretty much however many points he wanted, he could have had that many points if that was a mission for Marquette. If they wanted to see him score 60, he could have scored 60. As Southern's defense was going to put up no resistance. And, it'd be interesting to see if he could put together, if he would play two full games like he did that half against Buffalo, if he could get to a 50-point game again, because he's done it once, but it was in overtime, but still, does have a 50-point game to his credit. The three highest-scoring games in Marquette basketball history all belong to Marcus Howard. That 52-point overtime game against Providence last year, and then he has a couple 45-point games now to his credit, so basically he's broken the scoring record three times in the last year, which is just incredible, and I'm excited to see what else he can do in Big East play, because Marquette's going to need him to do that if Marquette's going to win the Big East, and they certainly have a chance to do it. But, even though the Big East is not as strong as it has been in the past, Marquette's still going to need some great offensive outputs if it's going to go through this Big East slate and get to double-digit wins.
Right, absolutely. And it's just going to be critical for him to be playing at a high level, because as you said, the Big East is a little bit down, and so the league is there for the taking. But there's still plenty of talent in the Big East that could come up and bite Marquette in the butt if the team has an off night, or most importantly, if Marcus has an off night. One of the things I'm keeping an eye on long term across the season is, I ran the math a week or two ago, and I believe if Marcus Howard averages 30 points a game, he will end up with the scoring record for Marquette by the end of this season, which would be it would be this season.
Jeez.
But again, 30 points a game. That's highly
right,
unlikely.
That's high. Right. Yeah, that's pretty high.
But yes, 30 points
a
game.
But like, how many postseason games did you take? Like, did you include Big East games and tournament games?
I included three Big East games, two Big East games and two postseason games of some sort.
Okay. Again, that's pretty high. Even as crazy hot as Howard has been, 30 points per game is high.
Correct.
As much as we love when he goes off like that, he doesn't necessarily need to every night, because there are other guys on this team who can score. The Housers are both capable of 20-point nights. Sakar, I don't know if he's going to be a guy who's going to get you 20 with regularity, but he's going to have his nights when he's putting the ball in the basket. But more often than not, you're going to need Howard putting up points, but I don't think he needs to average 30 or something crazy like that for Marquette to be
contender. That was kind of the point I was making about the first half of the Buffalo game, was that, Marquette showed and has in the early season as well shown that they don't have to have a all-world type of output from Marcus Howard to be competitive in these types of games, right? That there are plenty of other pieces and other talent if Marcus is less than on his A game. But I think more often than not, they're going to need Marcus to be on his A game for them to truly win the Big East, which we talked about is a potential. And I think I certainly see no reason not to believe that Marquette, you know, that the chances for Marquette to win the Big East have gone down any. If any, they've gone up probably.
Yeah, I think Marquette is the trendy pick to win the Big East now. I did see KenPom posted an article on The Athletic this week, basically going through the statistical favorite to win each league, and he still has Villanova as the favorite at 50%, but he has Marquette at number two at 27%, and then everyone else is just small percentages behind that. So it's 77% that it would be Marquette or Villanova, and then the rest is the field. But statistically, maybe Nova's still the favorite, but I think a lot of guys are starting to think Marquette could win this league. One thing I do want to do is kind of go revisit our Big East predictions in the preseason to see if we want to change anything. But before we do that, why don't we just talk about the two games this week, and then maybe we can go game by game looking forward. Obviously, this Big East play kicks off for Marquette on Tuesday, on New Year's Day, against St. John's. That one will be on the road, so that'll be in New York. Hopefully, they're not wasting any time on Times Square on New Year's Eve, because that looks like, as historic and pretty as it is, I think that would probably be a pretty miserable way to spend New Year's Eve.
That feels like hell on earth.
But they'll be
like
in the area.
2 million people.
To take on St. John's. And, you know, this is it's an interesting matchup because St. John's, while it has played kind of a crap schedule, it did finish its non-conference play undefeated, but it has already actually begun Big East play, and it began Big East play with a loss.
It was defeated.
Right. So they're no longer undefeated, but I'm not sure what to think of St. John's entirely. I think Marquette is a little bit better than them, and I think the lines on KenPom kind of reflect that. On a neutral court, I think Marquette would probably be favored by, he's got at home in Milwaukee, Marquette would be a 7-point favorite. And actually, KenPom has Marquette as a 1-point favorite in this game. So I think Marquette is a little better than St. John's just because, I mean, St. John's just really played nobody up until Seton Hall, and then they got beat. How do you see this game, Phil? Because I think the thing that everyone's going to talk about going in is going to be the guard matchup of two high-scoring guards in Pons and Howard.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, I think, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to St. John's, but I almost feel like St. John's is a poor man's Buffalo in terms of style, right? Like, they play a relatively small lineup. They tend to play five out, zero in. They, you know, limited inside presence on offense. But where St. John's is kind of where the poor man's reference comes from is where Buffalo tends to be a little more structured. St. John's seemingly plays a lot of let's pass the ball around the perimeter and crisply and hope we get an open three that someone can jack. If not, someone's going to take their man one-on-one and more often than not, it's Pons, right? And so I think that's going to be the interesting challenge. Can Theo John Ed Morrow play out on the perimeter as necessary? And can Marquette win those one-on-one matchups defensively when St. John's kind of tries to go hero ball for various points of the game? And then lastly, the big thing is St. John's is great at forcing turnovers, and one thing Marquette is bad at is holding on to the ball. So it'll make for, I would predict, a very frustrating game for Marquette in terms of fan viewership from a holding on to the ball perspective. I suspect Marquette turns it over a lot.
Yeah, I think that's something we actually said. You know, you made the comparison to Buffalo. I think that's something we basically said going into the Buffalo game was the turnover numbers reflected a huge advantage for Buffalo because they turned their opponents over a lot and took care of the ball a lot. And you know, we saw how that game went. Obviously, Marcus Howard going crazy kind of counteracted some of that. But similarly, St. John's, as you mentioned, their turnover rate both offensively and defensively are very good. They're top 10 in the country offensively and holding on to the ball. They don't turn the ball over very much. And they are top 30 in the nation defensively and forcing turnovers. Marquette's still pretty rough in the turnover department, well into the 200s both offensively and defensively in turnover rate. One area that I think Marquette should have quite an advantage is on the glass. You mentioned St. John's, not the biggest team. Pretty terrible on the offensive glass. They're in the 300s on KenPom on offensive rebound percentage, while Marquette has been great in only allowing 23% offensive rebounds. That's top 20 in the country. So defense on the defensive glass, Marquette is very good, and Marquette is pretty solid on the offensive glass as well. So I would look for Theo John and Ed Morrow to make a big difference in this game, hopefully limiting St. John's to, you know, one possession each trip down the floor, not giving them extra chances. So that's an area that I think Marquette should have an advantage. I think that was part of the difference in the Buffalo game was Marquette's edge on the glass, aside from Howard going crazy. And then thanks in part to the offensive outburst the past couple of games, Marquette's shooting percentage has gone up in a lot of areas. They're now top 30 in the nation in three-point percentage, which is just behind St. John's. They're top 16 in the country. They shoot 39.8% from three, where compared to Marquette's 38.8%. So very close there. St. John's pretty good in the paint. Overall, St. John's offensive numbers are really, really good. It's just that offensive glass is one that I kind of circle when I'm running down the KenPom numbers, like, wow, they're really bad in that department. So hopefully Marquette's strength up front can be a difference in limiting St. John's second chance opportunities.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, St. John's does not play more than seven players. So, and Marquette's got a lot of talent on the bench. So, and I think that's one of the things that really showed up in the Seton Hall game in watching the second half was St. John's got tired, and they have the potential to get into foul trouble. And we've seen Marcus Howard has an ability to draw a lot of fouls from teams. He's going to the line, almost eight times a game these days. I think that'll be a factor in the game. It's really going to come down to is St. John's hitting or not, right? Like, more than likely, it's going to be, like you pointed out, the defensive versus offensive rebounding. It's probably going to be a one-and-done opportunity for St. John's most of the time. The question is, are they done because the shot went in, or are they done because Marquette got a rebound? And that sounds overly simplistic, but that's really all it is if St. John's is hitting shots – they have a really good chance to win, but if Marquette can limit their shots, I have no doubt that Marquette can get the offense it needs to stay with it. It's going to be a question of whether or not they can limit St. John's offense.
Yeah, I think they can. I think they will. And if the red hot Marcus Howard shows up in New York on Tuesday, I think Marquette's going to get out of there with a win. I think it'll be tough because I think Ponce is not going to go away. I think their shooting is going to keep them, keep this game interesting the entire way. But I think Marquette is the better team, and I think they've been a little hot of late. And hopefully, if that continues, I think Marquette's going to go to St. John's and get a win. I think it'll be a close one, but I'm going to take Marquette to win this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Marquette to win this as well. We kind of wanted St. John's to be undefeated when Marquette played them for all sorts of reasons. But I think the way St. John's lost, it can either galvanize the team or it can kind of put them into a little bit of tailspin. So the timing's fine for Marquette to go in there and get a win. I mean, Marquette's got to be feeling confident about themselves, and St. John's got to be at least a little bit concerned because the first time they got punched in the nose, they kind of bled, right? They lost the game.
Profusely.
Yeah. So, if Marquette comes in and jumps on them early, especially, could be a long night for St. John's. So I definitely think St. John's or Marquette beats St. John's. I don't want to say big, but I'm going to say comfortably by the final margin anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go 4-point win.
Okay, I was thinking somewhere in the 10 to 12 range.
Oh, wow, that's quite a bit. All right. I hope you're right, because it would be nice to just, relax over a biggest win, but I think that's asking a lot.
I think so. And when I say, final margin, I think Marquette's up 4 or 5, with a minute to go and with fouling and hitting free throws and whatnot, it ends up being a what looks to be a bigger win than it actually was. But I think Marquette's kind of in charge throughout.
Really quickly, let's just touch on the Xavier game real quick, because that'll be the next Big East game for Marquette. That's coming up, Marquette's first Big East home game of the season. That'll be on Sunday. At the time we're recording this, I don't think they've actually announced a game time for this yet.
They have not.
For the NFL games to be announced and picking a TV time for it. But Xavier, a team, you know, new head coach, but still Xavier, still a competitive team. Xavier has five losses, but I wouldn't say any of them are particularly terrible losses. Maybe San Diego State's kind of a one you'd want back, but, you know, they've lost to Wisconsin, they've lost to Auburn. They beat Cincinnati, who's a decent, or they lost to Cincinnati, who's a decent team, and they lost to Missouri, not a great loss there, but not a terrible loss. It was a road game. I mean, their numbers aren't bad, but, you know, maybe not quite at the level of the Big East regular season champions that we saw a year ago, because obviously they lost a lot of players, and plus their head coach. But, you know, just what jumps out at you about the Xavier team from what you know about them or just statistically about Xavier, Phil?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is this is one of the first teams I've noticed where all of Marquette's weaknesses are also Xavier weaknesses. You know, so where Marquette turns the ball over on offense, Xavier is not very good at turning teams over. So I think it's a favorable matchup for Marquette. And I think that's the thing that jumps out at me is in my head, or, you know, my heart wants to say that this is a tough game, that Xavier, is kind of the Xavier at all, but I was surprised statistically speaking in kind of the KenPom ratings and stuff that Marquette matches up pretty favorably with them, at least the way I looked at it. What did you think of the matchup?
I will notice that the 3-point numbers for Xavier aren't great. Both, you know, them shooting the ball from three, they're kind of average. They're ranked 181 in the country. Defending the three, not great. They allow 35.6 from three. So if they're going to leave some Marquette shooters open, that would be terrific. You know, individually, Paul Scruggs is a pretty good 3-point shooter at 46%, but he doesn't take a whole lot. He's only attempted 41 threes on the year. I'm not even that familiar. I guess I haven't watched that many games this year. Ryan Wellage, he shoots 44% from three, and he's had taken 77 attempts this year. So maybe they have a couple guys who can hit from downtown, but they don't take a ton of threes. But yeah, I mean, I would think at home this is a game that Marquette should probably win if they want to be considered Big East title contenders.
Right.
So yeah, I'm with you, Phil. I'm not saying that Xavier's a pushover. I mean Xavier's always going to be a competitive team, but if you look at the way they match up, you certainly expect Marquette to be favored. KenPom has Marquette as an 8-point favorite in this game. First Big East home game, I would be disappointed if Marquette did not win that game against Xavier.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of one of those, and we're going to get to it here coming up where we kind of review our Big East projections. But this is the one I struggled with, because going into the season, I thought, you know, Xavier at home would be real tough. Looking at it on paper now, I want to say Marquette wins, but yeah, I don't know that I'm ready to declare that Marquette is not going to stumble when it shouldn't stumble, right? Like, this just, especially if they beat St. John's on the road, that kind of feels like maybe they let up just a little bit after beating three, you know, top 15 teams in Wisconsin, Buffalo, and Kansas State, and then going on the road and beating St. John's. That kind of it feels just psychologically like a game where Marquette kind of goes, okay, we got this, and Xavier comes in and out toughs them simply because Marquette hasn't learned to win easy, right? That's the only thing that's holding me back from saying I think Marquette wins.
Yeah, so. You and I are both kind of hoping two wins this week for Marquette, and hopefully it goes that way and they can get Big East play off to a good start, and we'll see if Marquette can emerge as a Big East favorite. What I wanted to do now is kind of revisit our Big East preseason projections for Marquette. I'm not necessarily going to go game by game necessarily, because I think I would take a lot of time, but basically give both of us a chance to maybe adjust our preseason Big East predictions. If you recall, we both had Marquette at 13-5 in the Big East in the preseason. And just real quickly, the losses I had for Marquette, just because we had fewer of those, so just the losses I had were at St. John's this week, at Georgetown, at Butler, at Providence, at Nova. Phil had at Xavier, at Butler, Nova at home, at Providence, at Nova. Phil, do you want to make any adjustments to your preseason pick of 13-5 for Marquette in the Big East.
Yeah, I struggled with the Xavier game, but I'm actually going to switch the Nova game to the home game against Nova. I actually think Marquette wins that game again. Nova's struggling this season. They've had some issues. They're going to get stronger as the season goes on. There's clearly a ton of talent there, and Jay Wright is a great coach. But I don't think they're nearly as intimidating as we kind of thought they might be. As you've said repeatedly, you don't lose four NBA draft picks and replace them and keep going as if nothing happened and act like you're just as talented as you were before. So I think Marquette can beat that Nova team at home, which would move us then to a 14-4 on my page for the Big East.
So 14. So yeah, you're adjusting to 14-4, which might be in the Big East championship range. We'll see if it goes that way.
We need to have a conversation.
Well, I guess I've already
that.
Given away one of my picks since I just picked St. John's as a win for Marquette. So I'm going to switch that from a loss to a win on my game by game projection, and just arbitrarily, I don't know. Maybe I think, even though we just kind of said Marquette matches up well with Xavier, I'm going to switch that to a loss because I had that as a win, and I'm going to say maybe Marquette beats Butler. So other than that, I'm still going to have the losses. I'm going to still have at Georgetown as a loss, just because over a course of 18 conference games, you're going to have one stinker of a game where you just don't play well and lose to a team you're not supposed to. So I'm picking at Georgetown as the game where that happens for Marquette. Maybe Xavier could be a game where that happens as well, but also they bounce back and beat Butler. But so I'm still having them as like you with four losses. So I basically, like you, Phil, I'm bumping my preseason pick up one. So from 13-5 to 14-4, we both have them losing at Providence and at Villanova. Really a lot of wins beside that. And, you know, if Marquette can continue to play the way it has through most of the non-conference, even though 14 sounds like a ton of wins for a team that really has never finished higher than middle of the pack in the Big East over the last 5 years, it doesn't sound crazy the way that the season has gone so far.
One, and I think it's a reflection on Marquette's looks better than even we anticipated, especially later in the non-conference season. And the Big East generally doesn't look as good as we either thought or hoped, right? I mean, a few teams like Villanova are taking steps back, and Marquette's certainly taking a step forward. So, again, the Big East is a whole other animal from non-conference. I mean, some of the feedback around Marquette was, well, yeah, they got some big wins, but they were all at home, right? And certainly, you know, 9 out of the 18 games are on the road in the Big East, so they're not going to have that luxury. But, you know, if you go 500 on the road and you win all your games at home, that you get to 14-4 pretty quick.
Yeah, that's essentially what we both have, is Marquette going undefeated at the Fiserv Forum this year and being just better than a 500 team on the road in the Big East. So that would be 5-4 in your 9 road games. That's 14 wins. I think that's a realistic goal. We'd love for him to go 18-0. That'd be awesome. But you know, you're going to have some stumbles on the road in the Big East in any major conference, really. And so, you know, the interesting thing about KenPom, KenPom has Marquette's record projection at 11-7, but if you go game by game, only has Marquette as an underdog in 3 games the rest of the way.
Yeah.
At Creighton, at Butler, and at Nova. Now they have some of these road games as 1-point games, including St. John's this week. They have Providence as a 1-point game. Let's see any others real quickly. Xavier is a 2-point game. So yeah, there's going to be some variance there that could, you know, swing it to 5-6 losses in the Big East. But yeah, things are looking optimistic, and hopefully this doesn't come crashing down on us. But I think at this point of the season, Phil, we're confident enough in Marquette's defense that it's kind of here to stay. Right?
Right.
I think we've seen enough of a sample size to say that the positive defensive numbers are not a fluke, and I think a good defensive effort is going to keep Marquette in games that may have gotten away from them last year.
Right. I mean, they've only had technically two bad defensive games. One was Indiana, certainly, and I guess technically the other one was the Buffalo game, right? They gave up 85 points to get Buffalo, but when you score 103, that doesn't look so bad. So, I mean, at some point we've got to go, you know what? There's something to Wojo, because we said if he could just have a top 100 defense, the offense would be good enough. Well, you know, it's the start of the conference season, and we've got a top 50 KenPom defense. And Marquette has played, just glancing real quick, five top 50 teams in KenPom six KenPom top 50 teams. So that's like legitimate competition to still have that high a defense. So I think what's encouraging, and I mentioned it with the Buffalo game, is Marquette can win a bunch of different ways now, right? They don't have to just score 160 points a game or have Marcus Howard go off for, you know, 35 points for Marquette to win. They can grind out a game when they're not shooting well, or they can keep up with the team if they need to. They can play fast pace. They can slow it down, really crash the board. So they've got lots of options that I think lends itself well.
It's refreshing to not come into a game thinking, all right, we absolutely need Howard or Rousey to go off for 35 points to win this game.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, it's acceptable to say, well, you know, Marcus Howard can get 20 points and we can win this game.
Right.
It's kind of refreshing to go into games thinking that. And there are probably going to be some games in Big East play where Marquette is going to have to win some games in the 60s. And it's good to think that they have the presence up front and the perimeter defense to finally be able to do that. So hopefully that continues.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's exciting times. This team is legit, and that's why it's weird to say, hey, I think they're going to go 14-4. But I mean, I see no evidence to. I'm looking for it everywhere. I see no evidence though to say that's not likely to happen. Right? I don't see it. I think it's good.
You know, on the topic of how good Marquette is or is not, I think we're just going to wrap with this topic that has kind of gone around the Twitter sphere or on podcasts over the last week. Is Marquette overrated, underrated, or properly rated? You know, if you listen to the Ion College Basketball podcast over on CBS Sports with Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, you know, I guess Gary has been hearing from some fans, maybe one in particular, about his ratings, his top 25 and one. Our guy Aaron,
may or may not have come from our homepage.
Yeah, you know, I almost feel responsible because Alan Bukowski, he writes for Crack Sidewalks, and, you know, he likes to mix it up with Gary or anybody else who's going to talk about ratings and talk about numbers, and he was kind of all over Gary Parrish and his top 25 and one ratings, and I think maybe a few other people got fired up about it as well when he saw Alan spitting out some of the numbers and resume cases and whatnot, and Gary on the couple podcasts, most recent podcasts, said, look, Marquette, just get off me. Just calm down a little bit. Just, it's not that big a deal. I don't hate Marquette. You know, it was just kind of funny. And I really enjoy the Ion College Basketball podcast because I think Parrish and Norlander are both really insightful, and I think they're both very fair. But I figured, you know, why don't we maybe talk about, is Marquette properly rated? You know, if I think Gary in his latest top 25 and one has Marquette, what, like 23, 24, something like that. You know, Marquette in the AP poll as we're recording this Sunday night is 18. Probably going to be moving up on Monday because Wisconsin lost to Western Kentucky. Arizona State had a bad loss. So Marquette may be moving up, I don't know, 16, 15, something like that. So what do you think, Phil? Overrated, underrated? Do we need to, like, go team by team and see how many teams we clearly have above Marquette? You know, I think, you know, somewhere in the 15 to 20 range seems about right without doing just a ton of research.
Yeah, I don't want satisfied isn't the right word, but I think, you know, Seth Davis had in his Sunday night Twitter trolling has Marquette ranked 18th. I think 18's probably right for where they've played, the level of competition, how they performed, you know, home versus away versus neutral games. And I think this is one of those things I really enjoyed Alan's commentary and kind of going after Parrish, especially if Parrish is going to attack other polls. based on facts. So you got to be prepared to defend yourself with facts. But I think they're properly rated. And I kind of look at this as this stuff will work itself out. There's a couple of teams like Texas Tech. Do I think Texas Tech's overrated? Yeah, probably. But as we get into conference seasons, that will resolve itself, right? If they're not a very good team or they're an overrated team, I think they'll get exposed a little bit in the SEC. So it'll – go ahead.
You know, I kind of took – you know, I kind of went through Alan's article and, you know, how he had the article on Crack Sidewalks, which I guess if you find this podcast on cracksidewalks.com, basically scroll down one or two. It'll probably be the post right – below this one, but you know, he kind of had a certain number of teams clearly behind Marquette, clearly above Marquette, and maybe some that are just kind of right on the cusp that are debatable. You know, I think there are some that are clearly above Marquette. You know, I'm not going to try to make a case that Marquette is ahead of Kansas, Virginia, Duke, Michigan, Tennessee, or Gonzaga. Some of them are pretty clear. The tough thing is when you maybe get to some teams like, say, North Carolina or Kentucky, where maybe you, like, when you're measuring resume against what you think the team actually is, and kind of what I mean by that, like, let's take a team like, say, Kentucky, that maybe doesn't have great wins necessarily, but I still think they're pretty good.
Right.
Like maybe they don't have enough top, like, some teams that maybe don't have as many top 50 wins at Marquette, because maybe they just haven't played as many top 50 teams, and when they do, you're pretty sure they're going to beat them, right?
Right.
And so, like, I think – so taking what you think – like, that's the tough thing about ratings is they're not – or rankings. They're not just statistically based. There is still some eye test that goes into that, whereas maybe when you're ranking teams as far as seeding in the tournament, that's all resume, and that's all what the numbers say. Whereas, you know, this early in the season, you're taking what you think maybe a team could be or a team would be. Like, say, like, Nevada is another great example.
Yep.
Like, I think Nevada is awesome. Like, I think Nevada is really, really good. But maybe they haven't exactly played a ton of teams. Like, I think Nevada is one of the ones that was a little confusing. Let me go to Nevada's resume again. You know, like they have some okay wins. Like, I guess Nevada's best wins are probably USC, Arizona State, and BYU. Those are all fine. I'd say Marquette's wins are better than those. Resume-wise, I would say wins over Wisconsin, Louisville, Kansas State, and Buffalo are better. But if Nevada played Marquette on a neutral floor, who would be favored? I think Nevada probably would be. So that's why if you want to rank Nevada above Marquette, I got no problem with it, like, at all. Like Nevada's a team that's good enough to go to the Final Four. So I think that's kind of where the rankings things get really subjective, and that's fine because that's what rankings are for, right? It's just for people to debate about it and kick around. Yeah, well, I think this team's better because of this, or I think this team, even though they haven't beat anybody, I still think they're better than that team. So I think that's just kind of the fun in ratings. And if Gary Parrish has Marquette 23rd and I think Marquette's 18th, I'm definitely not going to throw a fit about it and just
right. And
complain. You know, it all works itself out in the end, and we'll see what the numbers, how the numbers stack up in March when it's time to fill out a bracket. But I think that's just the tricky thing about when you're talking about ratings. And if you want to brace it strictly off resume, that's fine. That's your take. But I think there are more things that go into ranking a team, especially when, you know, no one's gotten into conference play yet. Is there's still some talk of potential? Because I think by the end of the year, I think a team like Kentucky and North Carolina are both going to be so, so tough. And if you want to rank those teams above Marquette, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, yeah, and I think to your point, and this is where I think people really need to call it out as kind of the eye test and not make necessarily ranking. You know, we get into this whole, well, they beat so-and-so, but they were overranked, so they really weren't that good. So that wasn't that great of a win, which is, I think, part of what Parrish was doing. But, like, take Nevada. That's a great example. We've seen, you know, Nevada returned largely their whole team from last season, in which they had a very good, you know, NCAA tournament and a good regular season. So you would think there's some carryover, right? Like they're a known quantity. So
yeah,
even
they're number 3 offense on KenPom, top 40 defense on KenPom, both, you know, outstanding numbers up and down if you look at Nevada's resume. So, you know, again, while their their statistical resume, but if you want to look at their wins and losses, yeah, Marquette probably has better wins, and, you know, obviously Nevada has no losses, so they have that in store. But, you know, Marquette's played a much better schedule. But yeah, I wish I had a Vegas expert that I could dial up real quick and say, hey, Nevada Marquette neutral floor, what's the line? I would guess Nevada would be a slight favorite, and that's fine.
Right. And, you know, but so Nevada getting ranked ahead, that makes sense. But again, they're a known quantity. And I get like, hey, Marquette returned a lot of players from a team that went to the NIT, right? So how are they going to be that much better than an NIT performance with, you know, so you kind of get that eye test that's outside of the statistics and outside of the who's won and lost. But again, I mean, this is kind of rich people problems that we're upset because we're ranked, you know, 23rd or 18 as opposed to top 15. Again, I think the ultimate point is I think we're probably appropriately ranked for right now. And, this will resolve itself, right? If Marquette goes 14-4 in the Big East, even if the Big East is down, that's probably worth the top 10 ranking.
Yeah, we'll see how it pans out. One thing that jumped out to me about Allen's article that made me chuckle. I know what he means when he's breaking down Indiana, but just this one line stuck out to me. He has Indiana as a team that's comparable to Marquette. So, right, Indiana's resume on par with Marquette. And, like, the last thing, he says, but since they have top 50 wins and KenPom wins, I'll consider them on par with us. Yes, the Indiana team that absolutely blew the doors off Marquette back in November, I would consider them on par with us as well.
Yeah, I think there's
got to take head-to-head into account just a little bit. Just a little bit when you're doing these rankings. Just a little bit. But, you know, I think the article's fair. And, you know, you look at Allen's article, he essentially would have, let's see, five teams clearly ahead and six on par. So basically he's essentially saying Marquette should probably be around 12. It's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
Seems high, but whatever.
I wouldn't be shocked if we're 12, right? Like if 3 weeks from now we're ranked 12, I wouldn't be shocked.
No, maybe not. I mean, if you keep winning, you move up. That's kind of the tricky thing about ranking sometimes is if you just keep winning, you're eventually going to move above a team that loses. I think that's kind of what happened to Buffalo is maybe if some of the pollsters didn't necessarily believe Buffalo was a top 15 team in the country, they just had to keep moving them up. So when they lost to Marquette, they finally got the excuse they needed to move them down like 9 spots, which seemed like a lot. Yeah, that's kind of the tough thing is you win, you move up, you lose, you move back. So yeah, if Marquette can keep winning, yeah, they may sneak into the top 15, get close to top 10, which seems high when you might get a nosebleed and then trip up and then you come back down to earth a little bit. But
And I will say the last thing I'll say around this, I think it's a fair criticism to say, I mean, if you look at Marquette this season, the Indiana game, the aforementioned Indiana game is the only true road game that Marquette played. Granted, it was if you throw in the exhibition game, it was the third game of the season, but truly the second game of the season. So that's a mitigating factor. But Marquette has not, you know, and they split the neutral games in Brooklyn. So Marquette hasn't proved itself on the road, right? And again, half the games in the Big East are on the road. So is there an argument that, you know, Marquette loses 7 out of 9 road games because they just can't win on the road? If that's what you're anticipating, okay, then I get a lower ranking or not ranking. But you also have to look at the Big East and say, are there 7 teams in the Big East that are capable of beating Marquette when they're playing at home? And I don't think the answer is yes. So, you know, Marquette has to be ranked. It's just not it's just a question of how high.
Yeah, Marquette's ranked, so I'm fine with
right.
it. Bottom line is if Marquette keeps winning the games it's supposed to win, Marquette is going to be in not just in the tournament, but comfortably in the tournament, where on Selection Sunday we're not worried about getting our names called. We are wondering what kind of seed we're going to get, and hopefully we can get a good matchup so we can see the second weekend. That's where I'm hoping this season is going. So that's the funny thing about rankings. It's just really a talking point. They really don't have a whole lot of impact on whether you're getting into the tournament or not. It just maybe can kind of fuel the discussion a little bit. But ultimately, when we get to March, everyone's going to have a complete resume and a complete body of work that the committee's going to look at, say, you know, who'd you play, who'd you beat, where'd you beat them, how'd you do at home, how'd you do on the road. Let's stack up all these resumes and pick the 68 best teams. And that's what they're going to do. And the way things are going right now, Marquette should not just be one of the 68 best teams. They should hopefully be one of the 20 or best teams, and hopefully get a comfortable seat, but we'll see how the next 2 months go.
And hey, boy, we could be in the, it could be worse. We could be in the Pac-12.
We could be. Wow. Did the Pac-12 have a day on Saturday? What was that? Yeah, it was Saturday.
I mean, I'm not serious, but they could be at risk for losing their automatic qualifier at this point.
It could be a one bid league. It's not impossible right now. I was trying to bring up the Pac-12 scores while I'm trying to stall for time here, but I was trying to think of all. Did Seattle end up beating?
Yes.
Who were they playing? Yeah, Seattle end up beating. I'm trying to bring up the scoreboard. So yeah, Pac-12 on Saturday. Well, Utah lost to Nevada. There's no shame in that. But yeah, Princeton beat Arizona State. I mentioned that earlier. Santa Clara beat Washington State. Liberty beat UCLA. John Dawson's not there anymore, is he?
Nope.
Yeah.
Dawson. Yeah, John Dawson's still there. Yep.
Oh, is he? There. Wow. It seems like it's been a while. That may get Steve Alford fired. Boise State, or Oregon got by Boise State. Yeah, Seattle ended up beating Cal. Good job, good effort, Pac-12. Goodness gracious. What a league. Even in a down year, the Big East is still ahead of the Pac-12. That's
for sure. But which is why it's very important that when talking about college basketball, it's group of six. There is no Power Five.
Yeah. Power Six, Power Conference, these are acceptable terms in college basketball. Power Five is not a thing. College hoops just isn't. As always, we thank you for listening here on Scrambled Eggs. As always, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. Go to cracksidewalks.com. We post the podcast there, and you can also scroll down and read Alan's breakdown of where he thinks Marquette should be ranked, which is a pretty good read. You can also go to the Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. Also, don't forget to go to Apple Podcasts, rate us and review us. Subscribe there so you don't miss the show. Phil, hoping for 2 wins this week and a happy new year.
I'm hoping for all of that. I will take the 2 wins and have a crappy new year if that's what it takes.
I'd make that trade as well. But let's hope we have a happy one. Till then, seashells and balloons, everybody.